Here we are, 1:15 on Thursday, continuing looking at being that witness that we are called to be in Acts 1 in verse 8. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So it says, ye shall be witnesses. So today we're looking at the principles of being that witnesses, or principles concerning soul winning. There are many more ideas, principles, and practices concerning soul winning than what we're going to look at. There are people and cultures, languages, and practices are different everywhere in the world. However, some things are the same no matter where you go. And so we're going to look at very briefly 10 principles for soul winning that are the same for every witness. The first is that you must use the Word of God. The more scripture you can use to plant in the heart, the better the opportunity for the person to be saved. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Underlining each verse in the Bible that you plan to use when it might help you to easily read, help you to easily read and find those passages when you are witnessing to someone, or if you're showing them your Bible and having them read it for themselves, even having it underlined in that spot might help them just to focus on and bring their attention, make the Word of God stand out to them. And then you can also give your testimony. It is interesting how many times the Apostle Paul used his own testimony on the road to Damascus to witness to others. His salvation experience is found in Acts 9:1-9, and then in Acts 22:1-16, he gives his testimony to the multitude, and then in Acts 26:1-20, he gives his testimony to King Agrippa. One of the best ways to plant the seed of the gospel in the heart of somebody else, one who is lost, is to share your personal testimony. Your testimony will often give you an opportunity to ask that person if they know for sure if they know where they're going when they die. And often it will allow you to open your Bible and to share the truth with them. And then you can have scripture memorized. It will be a lot easier to show the unbeliever the scriptures in your Bible if you have them memorized, if you know where you're going, instead of flipping through trying to remember, trying to pull it out. If you have it memorized, if you have it in your heart, in your mind, it will be easier to show it to them. Also, the more scripture you have in your heart, the more the Holy Spirit can pull from to persuade the lost to be saved. The mind is much like a computer. Just as you can only use programs and information that have been installed in a computer, God can only bring to remembrance that which you have already put in your heart and mind. Even if you do not have the opportunity to open the Bible when witnessing, you may plant a seed by quoting verses that you have memorized. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So realize that you are sowing. Number four, realize that you are sowing. Psalm 126 and verses 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And the number of souls saved is based on the law of sowing and reaping. The more people you tell about Christ, the more people you will see saved. The more hours you go soul winning, the more opportunities you will have to present the gospel. And the more times you present the gospel, the more people you will see saved. And then fifthly, you have to be ready for different responses to the gospel. People most often respond in one of three ways. All three responses are found in Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 34, when Paul was preaching at Mars Hill. Paul preached repentance and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the Bible says, and when they heard, and it tells us the three ways that they responded. Some, in verse 32, mocked. Others, still in verse 32, others said, "We will hear thee again." And then in 34, verse 34, yet certain men believed. When you give the gospel, some will reject it and mock, while others will think about it and decide that they'll hear you again, but they're not ready to make a decision right now. Yet others will get saved. Unfortunately, Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14 tells us that this last group, those who will get saved, will be few in number. Matthew 7, 13 to 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And then number six, you have to have a definite time to go. We discussed this before, but we must make a time for what is important to us. We all do, and we make time for what we want to do. By human nature, we are creatures of habit. So we must find a time to go soul winning that will be the same each week. And the easiest way to do this is to go when your church goes, or go when somebody else that you know you're friends with is going. You go with them at that time. But you must have a time to go soul winning, to be that witness. If you don't, it won't be something that you do on a regular basis. So you need to make it a set thing that doesn't change. It is easy to make soul winning a low priority, but if it is on your schedule, then it is more likely to happen. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." If it's important to us, we will make a time for it. And soul winning and being that witness that we are called to be should be important to us. Number 7, you must be soul conscious. We've talked about this before as well. Soul winning is not just a once a week obligation. Paul was soul conscious. He shows his heart in Romans 10:1 as he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." To be soul conscious, it must be in your heart and in your prayers. Your eyes affect your heart. In Lamentations 3 and verse 51, "Seeing the lost will cause you to be burdened for them." And your heart affects your words. Matthew 12:34, you will talk about the things that are in your heart. What's in your heart will be drawn out. You will speak about it. And then your words affect your prayers. In Matthew 21 and verse 22. So being soul conscious will cause you to pray more fervently for the lost. And then number 8, have a walk with God. A walk with God is a necessity in order to be a faithful soul winner. A soul winning can be work. A godly Christian realizes that being a witness is not done because it is fun, but because it is right. It's because it is what we are commanded to do. And character keeps us being that witness. Character will cause us to be the faithful witness that Jesus has called us to be. When enthusiasm wears off, character must kick in. Character is built up daily in inward renewal that comes from walking with God. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And then number 9, keep your feet shod. Soul winning is part of the armor of God. The Christian armor, as mentioned in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, tells us to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In verse 15, not only is the gospel of peace a picture of salvation, but it is also a picture of witnessing. A soul-winning Christian is putting the Christian armor on his feet. In Romans 10, verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The devil will try to get you sidetracked with other things. Or soul winning will keep your direction focused, though. A consciousness of the lost and going out to win them to the Lord will protect your feet from being out of the will of God. And then number 10, earn your crown. God rewards being that faithful witness. He rewards soul winning. One of the five crowns mentioned in the Bible is the soul winner's crown. And the Apostle Paul called it the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verses 19 through 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. And then Philippians 4 and verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You know, the reason it is called the crown of rejoicing is because of the joy over this one sinner that repents. Reaping in joy is not just in heaven, but also here on earth. And God blesses the soul winner. I believe we've talked about this before, but you know, there's no greater joy than actually leading somebody else to Jesus Christ, and knowing that you were instrumental in leading that person to Christ so that they would know that they have an eternity with the Father. And so God does bless soul winning. It's not in a material way, but there is a spiritual blessing that comes with being the faithful witness that we are called to be. Psalm 126, 5 and 6, we read it earlier, they that sow in tears reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hope that's a blessing and a challenge to you as we consider being the witness that we are called to be. Looking forward to our missions conference again tonight, Thursday night, and pray that you would be able to come and join us here at the church. Have a blessed rest of your day. God bless. Bye.